Hare Krishna. So, it was a climax that Jai Subhadra Mataji was giving the class, and now it's an anti-climax, and I'm continuing into that. So Arjuna returns from Dwaraka, that's where we saw in verse 21, and so today we are going to cover from Canto 1st, Chapter 14th, verse 22nd till 34, based on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, founder of ISKCON. So I'll seek the blessings of Guru Gauranga and all assembled Vaishnavas so that we can do this class. I know I'm the duck amongst the swans, but somehow I'm given this opportunity. Thank you. We'll start the invocation prayers.
Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam udirayet Suvabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nishtiki.
So today's scope, or what we are going to cover today, is right here. So verse 21, where Mataji left in terms of Maharaj Yudhishthira observes the inauspicious signs and connects these with the departure of the Lord from the earth. And verse 22nd is when Arjuna arrives. Verse 23rd, Maharaj Yudhishthir observes that Arjuna is completely dejected, and in spite of knowing what was coming from the indications from sage Narada and then connecting with the inauspicious signs and looking at Arjuna, Maharaj Yudhishthir kind of knows that Lord has departed. But instead of getting into the direct conversation as an etiquette amongst the friends when he receives Arjuna and Arjuna pays obeisances, Maharaj Yudhishthir inquires about the friends and relatives from Dwaraka and various aspects, and kind of a smooth landing, the conversation. And also in the last verse that I'm going to cover today, verse 34, Maharaj Yudhishthira inquires about the pious men and their pious activities in Dwaraka and how Lord is enjoying with them. So, and we'll go through this whole thing in more detail, verse by verse. There are few verses where there is no purport. So, like Mataji said, the precedence, we'll simply go through the translation of those. And Amritan Prabhu is very merciful because he has given me a section where there are not many purports. So, it's going to be a short class. Unless we have questions, which we all will answer. Okay, so getting started. Okay, do we want to read the slokas together? Is that okay? Okay, so
iti chintayatastasya drashtesthenachetasarajanapati brahman yadupurya kapidvaja.
O Brahmana Shaunaka, while Maharaja Yudhishthira, observing the inauspicious signs on the earth at the time, was thus thinking of himself, Arjuna came back from the city of Yadus.
Tampadayor nipatitam ayatam ado vadanam abhindum srijam.
When he bowed down at the feet, the king saw that his dejection was unprecedented. His head was down and the tears glided from his lotus eyes. Now this is Arjuna, the famous Kshatriya, who has killed millions of people in 18 days of war. And now he is crying like a baby and he is sobbing. So definitely something really bad has happened.
Vilokyo dvidna. Yam anjunam ripa vachati smasudam madde samsaram naradetiram.
Seeing Arjuna pale due to heartfelt anxieties, and the king, remembering the indications of the sage Narada, questioned him in the midst of the friends. Now this is where, if you remember from Mataji's class, Jai Subhadra Mataji's class, so Narada has already covered Yudhishthir Maharaj in terms of what's coming. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was bewildered or feeling sad when Vidura and Yudhishthira, Dhritarashtra left into the forest without talking to him, and he was worried about how these old people will handle themselves. So Sage Narada came and gave guidance to Yudhishthira Maharaj about, if you yourself are in the Martya Loka at the moment and you are not in position to give them protection, but everyone is under the protection of the Lord, so do not worry so much. And continuing on to that, says Narada also covered Yudhishthira Maharaj in terms of, Lord is about to wind up his pastime from the earth, and because you are part of his mission and you are here to assist him, after Lord departs you can also wind up your pastime. So he's already aware of what's coming, and that's what he's remembering. He's connecting the inauspicious signs followed by Arjuna coming back from Dwarka and his complete dejection, followed by Narada's guidance. Yudhishthira vacha kashid anartha purjuna swajanaha sukham astate madhu bhoja darshanaha satvadhan. Maharaj Yudhishthira said, my dear brother, please tell me whether our friends and relatives such as Madhu, Bhoja, Dasarha, Arha, Satvata, Andhaka and the members of the Yadu families are passing their days in happiness. So although Yudhishthira Maharaj knows what to expect, he is starting the conversation in an amicable way. Suro Mamad Suromata mama kaschet swasti aste vada marisa matula sanjuya kaschet kaushalya anaka. Is my respectable grandfather Surasena in a happy mood, and are my maternal uncle Vasudev and his younger brothers all doing well? So this is just inquiry about various relatives. There are no purports to these shlokas. I can just speak louder maybe. Okay, so sing loudly. Sapta swasarap tatpatnyo matulantya sahanyutam asate sanchemam devaki pramukha swayam. His seven wives headed by Devaki are all sisters. Are they and their sons and daughter-in-laws all happy? So these are two verses together, 28 and 29. Kashchit rajah ko jivati asat putro sya chanuha rigya sasuto kruro jayanta gadasarana asate kushalam kashchit yecha shatrujita adeha kashchit aste sukham ramo bhagavan satvatam prabho. So the translation is, our Ugrasena, whose son was the mischievous Kamsa and the younger brother still living, and his younger brother still living, are Radhika and son Kritavarma happy, are Akrura, Jayanta, Gada, Sarana and Shatrujita all happy, how is Balarama, the personality of Godhead and the protector of devotees? So the purport starts from here. So I have taken the purports and converted them into maybe a kind of bullet points to discuss. So why there is an inquiry about Ugrasena? Because he is not in Dwarka, and the gist of it is, from Dwarka to Hastinapura, when Arjuna was travelling back, Arjuna must have visited the city of Mathura where Ugrasena is situated, and hence there is an inquiry about Ugrasena. So Prabhupada covers that in the purport. And then there is some mention about Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme Personality. So Balaram is mentioned as Supreme Personality of the Godhead. So the Supreme Lord, although one without second, so usually there is a confusion, God is one, many religions say, and so that we say, but then again we say, Lord can expand himself into plenary expansions as many he wants, and all of those plenary expansions are complete. Ishopanishad. So expansions of the Supreme Lord, qualitatively and quantitatively equal with the Lord. So this is very significant. They are not reduced in their power or anything. All of them are equally complete. One who considers, this is a strong statement, one who considers the Jiva Shakti and the Vishnu Tattva to be on the equal level is considered a condemned soul in this world. So probably this is Mayavad, where they compare everything with the same, I mean, right? So the purport continues, and there is a reference to Balaram, the personality of the Godhead, supreme personality of the Godhead, and the immediate expansions of Vishnu Tattva as Prakasha Vigraha of the Lord. And he is the protector and savior of pure devotees of the Lord. And by his causeless mercy, the fallen souls are delivered. He appeared as Sri Nityananda Prabhu in the advent of Lord Chaitanya and delivered extremely fallen souls, namely Jagai and Madhai. Now, in Chaitanya Bhagavata, there is a disagreement between Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda about who delivered Jagai and Madhai. And the gist of it is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thinks that, or he acknowledges that Nityananda Prabhu delivered them. And it's vice versa, Nityananda Prabhu thinks Lord Gauranga delivered them. And I was listening to Romapada Maharaja's class, and both are right, Maharaj says. Both are right because it was the compassion from Nityananda Prabhu, and because of the compassion from Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Gauranga delivered them. So, Balaram is the mercy incarnation of the Lord manifested as the spiritual master of all of the devotees. So, our spiritual masters are the extension of that empowerment coming from Lord Balaram or Lord Nityananda. And we are very, very fortunate to have them around us where we can connect and see guidance and receive the mercy without which it is impossible to reach the Lord. Because that's the next statement. By His divine grace only, that is the only is very important in this statement, one can approach the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. It's the quality of the internet that could be impacting it, right? Yeah. Okay. I'll continue. You mean phone you stream or? Phone you stream or?
Just the phone.
Okay. So we'll read next. Pradyunma sarva vasninam sukham aste maharataha gambirarayo niruddho vardate bhagavanuta. How is Pradyunma, the great general of the Vrishni family? Is he happy? And is Anuradha, so this is where Aryan corrected me this morning. And I told him, I'm glad you covered me now so that nobody will laugh in the class. So is Aniruddha the... I'll give it a moment for devotees to collect. And is Aniruddha the plenary expansion of the personality of the Godhead faring well? Hey guys, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vishnu Tattva, the description of Vishnu Tattva continues in terms of... So, in Dwaraka, Lord Vasudeva is engaged in the transcendental pastimes along with his plenary expansions at Sankarshana, Pradyunma and Aniruddha can be addressed as the personality of the Godhead. So, each one of them can be called as the personality of the Godhead, and in terms of abilities or opulences, they are not less. And so, the next verse 31... Susenascha rudesnascha sambo jambavati sutaha annecha karshani parvas putra rasbhedya. Are all the chieftain sons of Lord Krishna, such as Susena, Charudesna, Samba, the son of Jambavati and Rishbha, along with their sons, so are they all doing well? So, family life of one person, this gives the glimpse of the difference between again the Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, where there is a description of Lord's family members. Obviously, Yudhishthira Maharaj cannot remember all the sons of Krishna in terms of the names, so he is referring to the chief sons of Krishna. So, just a moment to take thought about, in the known history of our civilization and other books and everything that we know, how many maximum number of wives we know a person has married to? And that's just a question for the masses to answer. What is the maximum number of wives that we have seen?
16,108.
That's the max you have seen, or heard of through everything. Okay, any bigger number? So King Chitraketu has a reference of 10 million wives. So usually we say, you know, Krishna can marry 16,000 wives, and general law says one is the appropriate one, and Ram did give example of Ekapatni Vrata in terms of what it was. So the, you know, the question is, if you look at the quality of family life of Chitraketu, with 10 million wives, he didn't have a child. That's one. Two, all his 10 million wives were not happy. Even after having the son, by the mercy of the sages, only one wife was happy. So that's what happens when you try to match with the Lord, it's not going to work. So look at Krishna's family life. 16,108 completely satisfied and happy wives. Each one of them, Krishna expanded into 16,108, and he was with them all the time, and he was giving them presents and emotionally covering and all the pastimes, which only Krishna can do. And again, he every wife had 10 sons, so that goes to 161,080 sons. And these sons got married again, assumingly they married only once. So daughter-in-laws, 161,080. And then each one of them had 10 sons. So that is 1,610,800. And Rupada Maharaj says 800 is also important. Complete number. So I did some Excel sheet calculations, and it comes to 2 million family members. And all of them completely satisfied. So that gets into the next point, which is comparison between Ishwara and Jiva. The Lord is the father of all living beings. So, and they are countless in number. So actually Krishna's children are unlimited in number, because all his anshas are coming from him. And a few of them are called to associate. In Dwaraka, what 2 million as a calculation we are seeing, are simply some of them are called to associate with him in Dwaraka. So it's not the complete picture of his family life. Although even the partial exposure of his family life is overwhelming in terms of numbers, that is nothing compared to his actual family, which is the unlimited in numbers. It is not astonishing that the Lord maintains a visible family consisting of so many members who are completely satisfied. It is better to refrain from comparing Lord's position to ours, and it becomes a simple truth as soon as we understand at least the partial calculation of Lord's transcendental position. So when Prabhupada says partial calculation, that's because what we are seeing is not his all family life, because we all are his family members. So King Yudhishthira, it is impossible for him to remember all the names. So in the previous the verse that we are studying, he refers to the select few names of his sons. So verse 32 and 33. Tathava Charasrehe Shatruda Sunandananda Shrasyanna Yekane Satvara Sabha Api Swasti Asate Sarve Ramakrishna Bhujashrayaha Api Smaranti Kaushalyam Asmam Baddhasa. So translation. Also, Shrutadeva, Uddhava and others, Nanda, Sunanda and the leaders of liberated souls who are constant companions of the Lord are protected by Lord Balarama and Krishna. Are they all doing well in their respective functions? Do they, who are all eternally bound in friendship with us, remember our welfare? So that is the continued inquiry of Yudhishthira Maharaj to Arjun. So all these names or the people in reference, they are the eternal associates of the Lord. They are not happen to be there. That is not the situation. They are eternal associates, the constant companions of the Lord, such as Uddhava and Pandava. They are all liberated souls already. Although they may sound like they are going through material miseries sometimes and facing so many things through the life of Pandavas, it has nothing to do with their karma or previous or anything. The main thing is they are participating in the mission of the Lord. And that goes back to Bhagavad Gita 4.8. Aryan, what is Bhagavad Gita 4.8? Loudly. Paritranaya sadhu na vinashaya dharma sansthapanarthaya. So Lord, thank you. Lord visits millennium after millennium to recover his devotees from the material world, and also to annihilate the bad people, and also to establish the principles of dharma. So these are the purposes. So when he comes, he doesn't come alone. He brings his eternal associates, and they arrange the whole drama in terms of doing the pastimes, which are very attractive, and ages after that, people can continue to refer to the Lord's pastimes and get purified. So these constant the eternal associates, although the eternal associates of the Lord, they do forget the Lord in the middle of the Leela, in the drama, they don't remember. So Pandavas think they are Pandavas, and Uddhava will think he's Uddhava, and so they don't remember, although Lord Krishna remembers all of them. So his associates, they forget because they are the Tatastha Shakti, or the marginal potency of the Lord. So again, the difference between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, the Jiva Tattvas are infinitesimal potential particles of the Lord, require the protection of the Lord all the time. So even the eternal associates, not just the each and every particle, but even the eternal associates are constantly in the protection of the Lord. They seek Lord's protection, and that is true in the material world as well as spiritual world. The Lord is pleased to give all protection at all the times to eternal servitors. So Lord is also equally happy to provide the protection that they are asking for. The liberated souls never therefore think themselves as free as the Lord or as powerful as the Lord. So they do not try to compare with the Lord. Although they are eternally liberated, they understand their position of being in the service mood. They always seek the protection of the Lord in all circumstances, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. So this is very significant, because one may think once you go to the spiritual world and there are no material miseries, and there are no threefold miseries, there are no four problems of life, that means you can be just cool and do your thing. That's not true. When they are always seeking protection from the Lord. This dependence of the liberated soul is constitutional. So that is natural, as Prabhupada says, to ask for protection from the Lord, and being dependent on the Lord is natural, and the converse of that is unnatural. So the example of how the liberated souls are like sparks of fire. They exhibit the glow of the fire along with the fire, but not independently. So as the sparks come out of the fire, as you see, they extinguish and it becomes kind of ash, dirt particle or something. But so they have the quality of fire, but they can express that only when they are connected with the fire. Independently, the glow of the sparks is extinguished, although the quality of the fire or glowing is there. So that brings us to the verdict of all Vedic literature. And Prabhupada says the verdict of all Vedic literature is eternal dependence on the Lord, not temporary. Like how Mayavadis are saying, like, you know, Bhaja Govinda, only till you get to the point. And once you get to the point, then you can be on your own, or you are merging. Thus, this is a strong statement. By Prabhupada in the purport. Thus, those who give up the protection of the Lord and become so-called lords themselves out of spiritual ignorance. And Arjuna was asking me, what is spiritual ignorance? And the answer to that is, the material knowledge that we have is not going to help us. What matters is the spiritual knowledge, and the spiritual ignorance is that is going to bind us. So out of spiritual ignorance, come back again to this material world even after prolonged tapasya of the severest type. So if you are not depending on Lord, then you can do what you like in terms of the severities, the austerities, the penances, sitting in Himalayas caves, or controlling your senses to nth degree. Ultimately, you will come back to the material world. That's the statement by Prabhupada. So we are now at our last verse of the day. Bhagavan api govindo brahmanyo bhakta vatsala kashchit pure swadharmam yam satam aste sruda. Is Lord Krishna the supreme personality of the Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarakapuri surrounded by his friends? So I'll read one more time, because we are going to get into details of everything. is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows and senses and the Brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarakapuri, surrounded by friends. So we'll kind of dissect each of that. So the original Supreme Personality of the Godhead, Bhagwan Swayam, so he's referred as Bhagwan, Govinda, Brahmanya and Bhakta Vatsala. Why Bhagwan? Because Bhagwan means Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan means all opulences, and all opulences in full. And that is the power, knowledge, beauty, fame, renunciation. Govinda. What does Govinda mean? That he is the pleasure of cows and senses. So the question is, why do we need Lord's protection? I mean, sometimes I get very fundamental questions from Aryan. Like, why do we need whatever we are doing? What is the core root of that? And Prabhupada explains that very clearly. If senses are purified by the devotional service of the Lord, then the devotee can render real service and derive transcendental pleasure. So it is very, very pleasing experience that if you are in the pure devotional service. And because Lord is the master of the senses, so he takes charge of the senses and he provides happiness to the senses and the purified senses, and it's unlimited pleasure for devotees. So much so that Lord Krishna, bewildered by how Radha is more happy than him, he decided to come as Lord Chaitanya and experience that rasa of. So that is the extent of how much devotees can be happy, that the Lord himself may get bewildered about how, let me go and experience that. So that is the beauty of pure devotional service. The converse of that is, only the impure conditional living being cannot derive any pleasure from the senses, but being illusioned by the false pleasures of the senses, he becomes servant of the senses. So at least I was part of that, and I'm still partially there, but when we talk to people in office and all that, what a big pleasure they take in cricket and things of that nature, that probably is not relevant anymore for us. My director went to Pune visit, and he was showing me his itinerary about how he's going to attend some whole day of cricket game. And then he did take feedback from some of the contractors and understood that was a great thing to do. And he was asking me whether that's a great thing, and I said, yes, but it is austerity for me if I have to sit the whole day and look at people throwing the ball at each other. And he couldn't understand, and I couldn't explain him. But I explained him, I don't follow it, I play at times. So yeah, being servant of the senses means, if you look at, I mean, India, the cricket is religion and Sachin Tendulkar is God. And the gist of it is, when the cricket is on, everything is off. So the people are literally married to that. That's their religion. They're serving Sachin, can do anything for Sachin, to the point that people take Narayana's picture, remove the Narayana's face and put Sachin's face in that. And then the Facebook, it is revolving around. So that is all part of being servant of the senses, about the ecstasy they receive out of cricket and other things. And talking about soccer and football, I mean, soccer that goes with beer, and I think that is the nirvana. When my office colleagues, they go to the soccer games and they keep inviting me. The way they describe it, that is the ultimate in life in terms of what it is. You know, where is my husband? Yeah, he's in Canada today attending some soccer game. So that's the ultimate. So that is a good example of being the servant of the senses. So why do we need Lord's protection? So that we don't go after being servant of the senses and keep following that. And the only way that can happen is by asking for protection from the Lord. And the only way to reach Lord is by the mercy of the spiritual master, which is expansion of the power from the Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram or Nityananda Prabhu is the merciful expansion of the Lord. So, protector of the cows and Brahminical cultures, and Prabhupada makes few statements over here. The ultimate is cow protection plus Brahminical culture. That invites direct protection of the Lord. So, the only way to receive Lord's direct protection is cow protection and Brahminical culture. So, prisoners in jail are not under the protection of the king directly, but a servant assigned by king, which is the jailer. So, likewise, people in the material world, they are directly under the control of Durga, who is the jailer of this material world, and they are not under the direct protection of the... Although everything is supplied by Krishna, we are not directly seeing Krishna, general public at least. Without cow protection and cultivation of Brahminical qualities in human society, at least for a section of the members of the society. So Prabhupada is very pragmatic here. He is not expecting each and every person has to become a Brahminical quality person for basic prosperity. Even some of the people get into that Brahminical stage, that is good for the overall society. So no human civilization can prosper at length without having cow protection and Brahminical qualities. At least partially. Why some people are enough? Because they can guide the rest. So Brahminical culture is not about by birth or Janeva and rituals, but it is about developing the qualities which are dormant otherwise, and the qualities are quality of goodness, the truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge and transcendental knowledge. The most important is firm faith in the Vedic wisdom. One can, because being Brahmana is equated again with being in the mode of goodness, and mode of the goodness is the only place where you can see things as they are. So one can become a Brahmana and thus see the Lord as He is. So the best way to understand Lord is to first become a Brahmana, and that also Prabhupada covers in terms of Brahmana of the quality and not of the false prestige. So rituals are simply the way to do things, but the qualities is what defines everything in terms of being a Brahmana. This is a pre-qualification to becoming a devotee of the Lord. So Prabhupada says first become a Brahmana and then you become devotee. The example is fire cannot be kindled from the raw earth unless there is wood. So the wood is transformation of the earth itself. It's just coming in a different format and structure, but you have to have it. The wood should be present for the fire to be kindled. Likewise, you cannot just become devotee, you have to become a Brahmana in terms of qualities so that you can become a good devotee. So, and what happens after that? If you become a devotee of the Lord, you can be in loving affection in the form of proprietor, master. You receive the affection of the Lord in this form of proprietor, master, friend or son or lover, and that can be transcendentally achieved. So you can enjoy various rasas that we are aware of, that you can enjoy with the Lord. So again, that is unlimited pleasure. Now, Yudhishthir Maharaj did ask how is Ugrasena, how is Shurasena, how is this, how is that. But as far as Lord himself, there is no question of his welfare. It's not like Krishna is happy or unhappy and he's distressed or he's in problem or anything. He's beyond all that. He's full of six opulences and he is Atmaram. He's self-satisfied and he's beyond the material conception of life. So whatever bad omens that Yudhishthir Maharaj was seeing, they were material in nature. So here Prabhupada mentions, since the Lord is all perfect in himself, there could not be any question of his welfare. That's, he's beyond welfare. And Maharaj Yudhishthira refrained from asking this question. So although he asked about everybody else, when it comes to the Lord, he simply inquired about his residential place, Dwarakapuri, and where pious men assemble. So he said, is Lord enjoying the company of pious men? He didn't say, how is he? So that is a striking point in terms of how Yudhishthir Maharaj, although seeing all the bad signs and knowing from the Narad Muni and seeing Arjuna's status, knew what has happened. But look at the way he carried out the conversation. He started by asking about various personalities, and when it comes to the Lord, he's simply asking, is Lord enjoying the company of pious men? So Lord stays only where pious men assemble and takes pleasure in their glorifying the Supreme Truth. Maharaj Yudhishthir was anxious to know about the pious men and their pious acts in the city of Dwaraka. So that concludes the verse 34. The reference was romapadaswami.com. I did listen to his full class just went through the Srimad Bhagavatam, took the verses and the purports and tried to digest that little bit. I started Thursday night, so this is like the shortest preparation. So any imperfection you see, I promise I'll prepare better next time. So any questions at this point in time?
So Prabhu, you mentioned in the spiritual world there are miseries. Can you elaborate on that?
I didn't say that. I said in spite of the fact that there are no miseries in the spiritual world, The eternal associates are still dependent on the Lord. Right. Sorry. Any other questions? Comments?
I want to understand this better. I don't think I got it very well. You talked about the aspect of protection of the Lord. So, I mean, and I'm reading like what you had over there, what Prabhupada has in the purpose. So, it's not. So we're talking about that we're being illusioned by the false pleasure of the senses. And then when that goes away, then we're able